Hi, folks. It's time to warm up the old Torino XL and record another podcast. And today, it's Fantastic Forecast, episode 331. I'm Dave Elliott, and I'm hoping this podcast goes well. But if it doesn't, I've got my heroin, cocaine, amphetamines, and benzodiazepines ready, just in case. On today's episode, Fantastic Four, 331 from October 1989. Good Dreams, Part 2, The Menace of the Metal Man, by John Harkness, that's the evil clone of Steve Englehart, and artist Rich Buckler. So the issue begins with the Fantastic Five, Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, Human Torch, The Thing, and the She-Thing. But they're not the real FF. They're clones, imposters, impersonators. Although they look more like the real Fantastic Four than the cast of the fourth Fantastic Four movie, but that's not saying much. The clone FF have invaded a large theater where some guy is putting on a magic show. This is the clone FF's third adventure, so just like in Fantastic Four number 3, they feel the need, they feel they have to take on Miracle Man. Reed stretches up to the stage and calls the magician a fraud. A fraud? Look who's talking. And he takes away Miracle Man's magic wand. So Miracle Man runs away screaming out, "What's the matter with all you?" Come to think of it, maybe this isn't Miracle Man. Maybe the clone FF are just a little confused. I don't think this point is really made clear. Is this Miracle Man or not? They think it is. I don't know if it's the real Miracle Man. So as Ben and Sharon trash the stage, Reed takes the magic wand and points out that it's just an electronic device the magician was using for his tricks. Reed says, "He can't really perform miracles, but the Fantastic Four can." And Reed announces that for the people of New York City to continue to see the FF's miracles, they're going to have to pay a Fantastatax. And everyone in the theater has to pony up $50 before they'll be allowed to leave. All major credit cards accepted, by the way. And you know, the funny thing is that New York Mayor Ed Koch read this issue and proposed a Fantastic Tax too, and lost his re-election a month later. True story. So as you can imagine, the audience members are not happy with this announcement. One guy stands up and yells, "You creeps! What's happened to you?" And another guy says, "We're in deep trouble, people." And back in his hidden lair, his hidden mountain lair in Canada, Aaron the Evil Watcher is laughing his ass off. And that's it. That's pretty much the end of the story for this issue. So now we move in for a close-up on the real Reed Richards, in suspended animation in his glass tube, and we see what he's dreaming about. So Reed, Sue, and Franklin are hanging out in FF headquarters. Now here, I think Reed is dreaming about the real FF, and not the clones. However, in the previous issue, Sue was dreaming about FF clones. It's kind of strange. So Reed and Sue are talking about how nice it is to be together as a family, and they haven't had to deal with any enemies lately. Sue and Franklin are playing Scrabble, and if you think Sue would kick his ass, you'd be wrong. Franklin is just that smart. Or Sue is just that dumb. Ben is there reading a magazine about the Fantastic Four. He's the human version of Ben Grimm, so these are not the clones, they are the real Fantastic Four, only a dream version of the Fantastic Four. Sharon is doing what all good rock monsters in the FF do, working as Reed's slave, moving around large chunks of heavy machinery. Reed tells her to put the machine next to his computer so he can hook it up. Oh, and by the way, what is the name of his personal computer? Yes, it's the Torino XL. I have a personal computer that I have never in my life said, "Oh, I'm going to sit at my Dell Dimension B110 and record a podcast." Yeah, I know it's an old computer. You don't need to send me an email saying, "Dude, your computer's so old." So Reed goes on to say, "I have over 45 times 10.17 bits at my command, and all of it is running from a machine easier to use than the mainframes I used to have. Have I told you about the Torino? The Torino XL runs on 10 6809E chips with 4,096 colors and 65,536 sounds. 3 years ago, the technology was almost beyond reach, and now you can buy it at any computer store. Radio Shack, maybe. If I had devoted myself to nothing else, I could hardly have improved on that. If you'd like to see something beautiful, the acceleration card and the disc integration are absolutely incredible. The Trino XL. One thing we learn about Reed in this issue, his dream is to be the commercial spokesman for Trino XL. Big dreams, Reed. Big dreams. So Reed realizes he's boring everyone and stops. Ben heads off with Sharon, saying he's gotta go darn his socks. If that's a euphemism for some kind of sex act, I don't know what it is, and I don't want to know. Sue asks Franklin if he wants to take a walk down by the river, which I'm sure she literally wants to go for a walk down by the river, not a euphemism. And Johnny grabs his wife, Lijah the Scroll, and flies off with her, saying that he wants to darn her socks. Yeah, definitely a euphemism for something. And considering how vivid my imagination is, I'm guessing it's pretty disgusting. So Franklin doesn't want to go for a walk, and Sue goes off alone. Franklin says he doesn't want to go outside. He wants to stay inside, just like his dad. Sharon and Ben pass Roberta the robot secretary, and mention that Reed built a friggin' robot secretary, but somehow he can't stop talking about some damn computer in a box he got from, like, Radio Shack. So they get on the elevator and head downstairs. And then suddenly, the cables snap, and the elevator starts to fall. Poor human Ben Grimm could not survive this kind of fall. So Sharon punches through the elevator, grabs the wall of the shaft, and stops the elevator from falling. Back with Sue Richards, she's about to leave for her walk, and she's wondering when they'll hear from Dr. Doom again. She's worried about his plans to attack Latveria and take back his throne. I guess that explains her dream last issue about that very subject. Next, she stops dead in her tracks. She detects something out of the ordinary going on, so she contacts Reed and tells him something is going on in the robotics lab. He rushes over to join her, stopping to call Ben and Sharon on the way, who tell him about their mishap in the elevator. And now they have to turn around and walk back up 50 floors. So in the lab, Sue tells Reed that she detected that the force field to protect the lab had come on, and Reed goes to check it out and finds that the dial was set 2 frequencies too high. He says it could be his mistake, but normally he's more careful than that. Maybe it was his evil clone. Next, he finds that the override switch is broke and figures someone came in and tampered with it, and whoever did it might still be in the building. So Reed and Sue immediately rush in to check on Franklin, who's there playing Scrabble by himself. Oh, that sounds like fun. Get the kid some toys, for crying out loud. Maybe get him his own Torino XL to play with. So Franklin points out a word he spelled on the board, and it's Torino XL, of course. And then Franklin accidentally spills the tiles on the floor, and Reed notices something about the letters. They can be rearranged. The word Torino XL is an anagram, and the new word spells out Ultron XI, Ultron 11. So this explains the Torino XL, finally. It doesn't explain why Reed keeps mentioning it by name every chance he got, but it does explain why Steve Englehart came up with the name. I hope Joss Whedon has read this issue, because he needs to work the Torino XL bit into the next Avengers movie. So suddenly, the Torino XL, this little personal computer, starts to change shape, like a damn transformer, and it turns into Ultron, of course. But Ultron assures us that unlike a transformer, he's no toy. He says that after being destroyed by the West Coast Avengers, he rebuilt himself as the world's most popular home computer to infiltrate half the homes and offices in America. Yes, that was Ultron's plan, to rebuild himself as a personal computer and get sold in Radio Shacks around the country, and I guess he can spy on everyone, listen in on private conversations, take pictures, etc. I was about to call this a stupid idea, but now that Microsoft is essentially doing the same thing with Xbox One, I suppose it's a pretty brilliant idea. That Steve Englehart is a visionary, you know? So Ultron zaps Reed with these I-beams, and Sue protects herself from Franklin with a force field. Sharon and Ben arrive, and Ben is huffing and puffing from the long walk upstairs, and Sharon takes a swing and punches Ultron to the floor. The robot gets up, and Sharon is about to pound him again, but Ultron disappears. Reed says, "He never had a power like that before." Reed figures that Ultron has merged his electronics with those of their headquarters, so he shuts down the power to the entire building. Next, a group of them go heading down a dark hallway, totally in the dark. Reed said he sent out a flare for Johnny, but he's probably busy darning Elijah's socks, or she's darning him, or whatever that means. They say it would be nice to have the Human Torch there to light the way. Strange, all this technology Reed has, but he doesn't own a friggin' flashlight. They hear something up ahead, and Roberta the Robot comes jumping out at him. I guess she's been seduced by the raw, silvery magnetism of Ultron 11. And while they're distracted by her, Ultron shows up and starts zapping everyone with laser beams from his eyes. He says, "As the world came to accept the home computer as a new necessity, I foresaw the day when they'd be commonplace." He's saying this in 1989, not 1979, so it's not really showing a lot of foresight. "Every home, every office with alien minds installed, minds that are secret duplicates of mine." Oh yeah, this totally has to be the plot of Avengers Age of Ultron. So anyway, next, Roberta the robot starts getting closer and closer to the FF, even though Ultron is telling her to stay back. While he's distracted, Reed stretches over and wraps an arm around Ultron, and then his entire body around Ultron, which of course is a terrible idea. Ultron electrifies his entire body, and Reed falls to the floor unconscious. Sharon starts heading toward Ultron, and he shoots his eye beams at her, and it does no good. Ultron calls her a second-rate thing. He forgets to mention that she's also a second-rate Miss Marvel, and she gets close to him and proves that while she may be a second-rate thing, she's a first-rate she-thing, and she clobbers him in the face. He gets up and they tussle some more. He ends up smacking her down and saying, "I'm Ultron, the ultimate robot." Obviously, he hasn't been to Japan. They have robots there that can blow you. Ultron punches his hand into a wall and starts sucking out all the power of the building. Now that he's more powerful, Ultron starts smacking Sharon around a bit. As he does, he goes on to say that as the Torino XL, Ultron saw Ben as the ultimate thing, and he wishes he were fighting the ultimate thing, and not some female fraud. I know reading this comic in 1989, I felt the same way. Ultron continues to fight by punching Sharon through a wall. By the way, why are walls inside buildings and comic books always made out of solid rock or concrete or whatever? Do comic book artists not know what the inside of a wall really looks like? He goes on into the next room and says, "This is the end," but Sharon gets up and says, "Not a chance." And then she rips up the floor underneath Ultron and he falls over. And then she takes the floor. It appears the room has wall-to-wall metal carpeting. And she wraps the floor around Ultron and she continues to ball him up like a ball of snow, making him smaller and smaller and smaller until he's the size of a basketball. Reed seems surprised. "She did it. She beat Ultron," he says. Of course, it's just a dream. No way could she really beat Ultron by rolling him up in a ball. So the rest of the FF are congratulating Sharon for beating Ultron, and Reed is surprised, since Ultron is normally made out of adamantium. But Sharon realized that since Ultron was folded up as a Torino XL, there's no way he could have been made out of that heavier material. He had to abandon his adamantium casing to pose as a home computer. Next, Reed wonders why Roberta was moving toward the FF against Ultron's wishes, and Sue tells him that she wasn't. She was moving Roberta with her force fields to trick Ultron. Sharon says that it looks like the women on the team is all they need, and Reed wraps his long stretchy arms around the entire team and says, "Oh no, we all play our part in this crazy group at one time or another." It seems like appropriate that Johnny isn't part of the group hug at this time because he never does play his part. "What a team! What a wonderful team! Wonderful team," he says. As the dream comes to an end and we find ourselves looking back at the real Reed Richards in his glass tube. And back with Aaron the Evil Watcher, he's having fun watching his evil clone FF walk down the street, acting like assholes, telling people to pay their fantastic tax. And evil Reed has a great final line. He says, "With great power comes control." Write that down. And that is the end of the issue. Coming next time, Johnny's dream. You would think his dream will would involve him banging a bunch of redheaded chicks, but it will probably be something stupid and boring. And that's it for now. You can find my favorite panels from each issue of the Fantastic Four and other stuff on my blog at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. My other podcast, Comic Book Doggerel, D-O-G-G-E-R-E-L, can be found at iTunes or search for at podomatic.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need any relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. Finally, there's a Facebook page for the show. You can find it by searching for Fantastic Forecast. Join up and you can be my friend. So long, kids. This podcast is over. The one thing we're all